Now, the House of Representatives today, including 10 Republicans, voted to impeach President Donald Trump for a second time.
On this vote, the ayes are 232, the nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
As House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the vote tally earlier this afternoon, you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this new impeachment of the president? Would you like to have seen Congress take more time? What do you want to see from the U.S. Senate? Majority Leader Mitch McConnell basically put the lid on any idea of doing anything before Inauguration Day. Do you think it should happen sooner? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on today, Rob.
Well, a dramatic week here, Lily. The attack on the Capitol just 1 week ago today, now an impeachment from the House. Your thoughts, big picture, take it where you want to go.
You know, it's just been a kind of unimaginable on some level that we saw what we saw last Wednesday. And then we have the second impeachment of a president, which, again, is historical. We've only had the impeachment of Andrew Johnson, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump's first impeachment in the history of presidential impeachments in the United States. And next Wednesday, we will have an inauguration that apparently is also kind of under threat with regard to concerns about attacks on the event itself and those who are there. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and as somebody who studies American politics, it's a bit wild.
Impeachment, it happened in the House today, the Senate trial. It seems pretty clear at this point won't happen until after Inauguration Day. What is the meaning of a Senate impeachment trial of a president who's already left office the normal way?
Again, this is somewhat unprecedented, but then so is being impeached twice as president. I am given to understand from what I've been hearing in the news media and some reading that other individuals have been impeached or tried after they had left office, not obviously as president. So the Senate trial of Donald Trump as former president will definitely be something new and different, at the same time that the Biden administration is hoping to be able to move some of their appointees through the Senate so that they can take over, you know, the Department of the Treasury and Health and Human Services, as we are in the middle of the pandemic and we have a significant recession. So there's a lot of pressure with regard to what the Senate will be doing, not only after the inauguration with regard to a new cabinet and sub-cabinet level appointments, but also with regard to managing another impeachment trial.
Now, we saw unanimous support for impeachment from Democrats, a wide variety of approaches from Republicans. Let's start with the 10, first of all, who voted in favor of impeachment. I want to read a quote from Liz Cheney here, representative from Wyoming, a third highest member, her third highest powered member of the House for Republicans. And I'm going to quote from her statement. She didn't say this on the floor. Quoting, "The president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the president. The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There's never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution." Again, that's Republican Representative Liz Cheney. Striking to hear that from somebody of the president's own party.
Yeah. And again, it's really interesting. You just read a section that, in fact, the majority leader in the House, Steny Hoyer, also read at the floor on the floor of the House, quoting Liz Cheney in the concluding remarks before the vote was called. And so, you know, sort of piece some of these parts together Liz Cheney's father, the former Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney, and also Vice President, had spent a number of years in the House as a House member. And he was one of the Secretaries of Defense who signed an op-ed, a letter last week, talking about what had happened in the Capitol and also supporting the removal of Donald Trump. And so, you know, I think that Liz Cheney is, you know, sort of thinking about not only her own experience in the House last week, all of the members who were there were experiencing the, you know, the attack, but also, you know, probably coming out of some of her father's own experiences, not only as Secretary of Defense and Vice President, as well as his time in the House and the immediate post 9/11 period.
We are talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at today's impeachment vote in the House. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this vote in the House to impeach the president? Good idea, bad idea? Would you like to see the Senate pick up a trial sooner rather than later? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Of course, most Republicans voted against the motion to impeach Lily. Some, including some of Wisconsin's delegation, did assign some blame to the president for the events, but said, hey, we've got this transition coming. Some more forcefully defended the president. What did you make of what we heard from Republicans who voted no on impeachment?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of different approaches, and part of the argument is that he's going to be out of office a week from now, and so, you know, we should move on from the situation. The difficulty, obviously, is that when there is essentially a group of people who storm the Capitol building, and it's becoming more and more clear from everything that I'm reading that there was real attempts at threatening and getting to Vice President Pence, Speaker Pelosi, and others with the potential for, you know, sort of taking them hostage or worse, that this is a, you know, it's a complicated sort of approach. At the same time, impeachment is the mechanism in the Constitution to punish a president. And that's what it is. It's a political means. And a number of the Republicans who spoke against impeachment and voted against impeachment basically said that the insurrection is over and we need to move on.
Let's look back at the lead up to this. We're basically 2 months past the time on November 7th when we knew that Joe Biden had won the presidential election. There were court cases, lots of them challenging bits and pieces here and there. It was clear at that time, continues to be clear. But we had this drumbeat from the president and some of his supporters saying the election was stolen. How important was that, Lily, you think, in leading up to last Wednesday's events?
Well, I mean, I think this is where you have the, you know, some of the connection between the rhetoric from somebody like a president of the United States, which, you know, has the bully pulpit, has the biggest megaphone in the world, even if not on Twitter, and the capacity to constantly push a narrative that is being shown again and again and again to not be true, it defies a kind of reality. And I think that's also where some of the supporters were who came to the Capitol last week to try to overturn the certification of the Electoral College votes, because that was what the argument was that the certification was essentially an illegitimate process because that was not what happened according to what President Trump had said.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Nakusa. Dave, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Dave?
When you were talking about should we go through with this and impeach him, and I was kind of against it at first, but I just don't want to see this being made first priority after Biden gets into office. We've got enough eggs on our plate right now. There's so much going on. And, you know, if they want to go after him later, and I understand they're trying to just, you know, make him pay for, you know, what he instigated. But I just think if they go through with it, just back off on it, and we get to it when we get to it.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. And Lily, I've seen other people, even as Dave was, people sympathetic the idea of impeaching the current president, saying, hey, President Biden's got, COVID and vaccination and mending fences in foreign policy and his appointments. We could talk for a half hour about the list. Does the impeachment, if it's still going, get in the way of all that?
Well, I think this is, this is a tricky sort of situation. And as I said, there's a lot of pressure on the Senate moving forward with regard to many of the tasks that it has at the beginning of a new administration, coupled with the complexity of what's going on in terms of the pandemic and the recession and, as you say, global relations and so forth. And James Clyburn had suggested perhaps the trial should take place a little bit longer down the line, after the, most of the components of the new administration had been put through the Senate. I think, though, that the House will transmit the articles quite quickly. How and when the Senate takes them up, I guess, will be up to the Senate. And then there is some question about whether or not, because the impeachment vote and process happened so quickly in the House, that in order to sort of respond appropriately, the Senate should, pick this up quickly and get through it quickly, as opposed to having it also take a long time to try.
Thanks for that call, Dave. We're talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at today's impeachment vote in the U.S. House. You can join in with your reactions, your questions at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this impeachment vote? When and how would you like to see the Senate deal with it for a trial? And how are you doing this week when you look at American politics over all the things that have happened? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Lily Gorin stays with us from Carroll University, political scientist there. We are looking at today's impeachment vote in the U.S. House of Representatives. It passed, goes to the Senate. When? Not clear. Probably not between now and Inauguration Day. President Trump released a written statement, a press release earlier today. He now has a video statement out. Here is a little bit of what he had to say just in the last 20 minutes or so.
Every American deserves to have their voice heard in a respectful and peaceful way. That is your First Amendment right. But I cannot emphasize that there must be no violence, no law breaking, and no vandalism of any kind. Everyone must follow our laws and obey the instructions of law enforcement.
I didn't see this in real time, Lily, because we're on the air now. Our producers say there was no mention of the impeachment itself. What do you think of that statement from the president as compared to what he was saying as things unfolded last Wednesday?
Well, he said something somewhat like that later in the day last Wednesday. But I haven't heard the whole clip or the whole discussion, so I don't know what else he has to say there. He said this before. At the same time, this is fairly distinct from what he said in Texas. Was it yesterday or Monday? And it's also somewhat distinct from what he said speaking to the crowd last Wednesday before all of the attacks on the Capitol.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Bethany is with us in West Bend. Bethany, hi.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. I just have so many things that I want to say with regard to this. But my first question is, if the impeachment process wouldn't have gone through or doesn't go through, what are the benefits that this president will have after he leaves office? Any of us in any employment situation, none of this would be allowed. And we cannot allow this behavior and we cannot allow this to go on. And I do not feel that my hard-earned dollars in public education should be going to someone to provide their pension, provide lifelong health insurance, provide security and benefits for this person and their family.
I gotcha. Bethany, thanks for calling in. And Lily, there's been talk about what impeachment and successful impeachment would mean for some of those benefits Bethany was talking about. Also, whether there are moves that would make it so that the president couldn't run for president again, say, in 2024.
Yeah. And first of all, let's just clear this up. The president was impeached today. So that has happened. The House impeaches presidents or others. And so what happens now is whether the Senate will try him and convict him or acquit him. And so that's up to the Senate. So the historical component of today is that Donald Trump has now been impeached twice, the only president to have that experience. And the Senate can decide, were they to convict him, that, you know, they could preclude him from running for office again. And they could also decide, you know, again, what the potential other punishments might be in that regard. So what the Senate decides to do in terms of either convicting him or acquitting him can also have ramifications for his political future and so forth.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Sarah now in Milwaukee. Sarah, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was actually going to say a lot of what was just said. I hear a lot of my friends saying, oh, this is only 20 more days of this, or how many more days of this? Let's just let it go. And I kind of rebutted with exactly everything that was just said. Like, I feel like this is so important to have it moved forward and have it voted on. Because this is going to go down in history. It is going down in history. It already is a historical event. And it needs to be correctly shown, reflected of what is currently happening in these times.
Sarah, thanks for the call. A little more about the symbolic value here, Lily.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I was saying, is that, you know, Donald Trump now has the ignominious sort of fame of being the only president in our 250-year history of having been impeached not once, but twice. And again, whether or not the Senate convicts him, I have no idea. But that is kind of not necessarily a famous call to arms in terms of something that somebody wants next to their name as president of the United States. And we also had a long stretch of time. We had one president impeached, Andrew Johnson, following the Civil War. And then we went for quite some time without another impeachment. And then we've had quite a few, three formally, in the last, you know, sort of 30 years. And of course, Nixon was never impeached. He resigned before the vote was taken in the House. So historically, this is a unique situation in terms of having two impeachments within a year of each other for one president.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Kevin next in Monroe. Kevin, hi.
Yes. Hi there. Just in regards to impeachment, even though there was an impeachment done, he was still president for how long? And how much money did that cost the American taxpayers? And do we really want to be involved with impeaching him and fighting in court litigation again with our taxpayers' money? That's not what we want. That's not what I want as a small business owner.
Kevin, thanks for the call. Lily, Kevin worried about a waste of time, lawmakers' time and resources being spent on now two impeachments that, you know, didn't remove anyone from office.
Yeah. And I mean, again, we've had a number of impeachments of presidents that don't ultimately or haven't ultimately removed them from office. And, you know, the president will no longer be in office next Wednesday. But we also don't usually have people sort of storming the Capitol. And I guess that's where not only members of the House and possibly the Senate, but also many Americans find that they think that the president had a hand in that and that they don't want to see that go, I guess, unpunished.
Thanks for that call, Kevin. In our last couple minutes, Lily, let's turn from the impeachment and a Senate trial to, something bad happened at the Capitol last week. What are you hoping to see when it comes to investigations of security and things like that so we figure out what went on and how to prevent it again?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that is going on by the FBI and by other law enforcement institutions with regard to kind of unpeeling the parts of what happened last week and if there was some collusion between members or staff members and some of the people who had schematics of the house. I'm really concerned about that. In terms of the real threat to elected officials.
We'll leave it there. Lily, thanks as always for joining us today.
Sure, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We've been talking to Lily Gorin, professor of political science and chair of the Department of History, Political Science, and Religious Studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. We talked to her today about the vote in the U.S. House of Representatives today to impeach Donald Trump for inciting an insurrection at the Capitol last week and where we go from here. Tune in tomorrow to the Ideas Network for more coverage on the morning show and here on Central Time. And you can keep sharing your thoughts. You can email ideas@WPR.org, post your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.